like, oh man, did the episode get cut? Did we start, like, is it like mid episode? And it's really not, because honestly, listeners out there, viewers at home, we have just officially started the episode. Yeah. Everyone, welcome to another beautiful episode of Finger beautiful. Guns Comedy. I am the grifter, Steve Sotelo. Here with me is the gang. So we have Edward, we have Denzel, we have Ezra. We're recording this on a Monday. And not just a Monday, it's International Women's Day.
Mm-hmm. So we gave Amelia the night off.
Then she's every getting her COVID vaccine.
That's a great use of her time.
Yeah. Have you guys gotten the vaccine yet? Well, I know Denzel's stance on it. He's gonna wait until the end.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Well, hey, but I'll tell you this right now. Me and Ed got different vaccines.
Oh wow!
And I'm sure.
Oh, I just got outed as getting the vaccine. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Thank you for putting my business out there like that.
I'm jealous of you. That's great. I would get it if I was eligible.
Well, just get get a quick little grocery store job, and then do the orientation. Get your little badge and just.
No, I don't need to cheat the system. I like my life is such that I can stay home, you know. So I'm like people who need it getting it right now, but I can't wait till I can get it.
Y'all see this? I rolled up my green screen, and there's a little picture behind. So there's still some green screen hanging down. It's a nice little mystery. It's a nice little mystery for the viewers at home to figure out.
I was wondering about that.
What is that picture hanging back? To be honest, I don't know either. So we're in for a surprise shut it down. And it's just, you know,
I feel like it's
just Tinashe in the background somehow.
I wouldn't be mad at that.
I wouldn't
be mad at that at all.
Oh, Bernie. Well, Ezra just left briefly because he is going to get his pizza out of the oven. Because last week we decided we are having a little pizza party. And so everyone has their pizza. Of course, you know me and my lifestyle. I'm getting that motherfucking 7-Eleven pizza.
That's a lie. He just pulled them out of the oven and then he's kept that box in there for like 2 weeks.
I literally anticipated that you're going to do that. And I told myself, if you fucking did that, I would end the episode. But we are 3 minutes into this fucking thing. I mean, so mad.
What do you mean?
This episode started off with you
outing me for having the vaccine. I outed your pizza. You
still have pizza. It's a bad thing to out someone for having the vaccine. That's a great thing. But what you fucking did was just ruin a 2 month long bit I was going to do. It was going to be a whole thing.
It's not a bad thing to ruin a 2 month long bit that would have ended well either way. What do you mean?
Well, that's some bullshit. Well, all right. We got a show.
It looks like Red Baron filth.
Oh, I removed him instead of highlighting him.
Wow, that Red Baron beauty. I mean,
Holy shit.
It sure does.
Is there some pepperoni that has like that little, they're like grease traps?
Oh, yeah, they're grease traps, and I'm about to wipe them clean.
Fuck yeah. You know what? Denzel, you're going to be disappointed in me, but I had a little Red Baron pizza earlier today.
Oh.
I know.
And you loved it, right?
Here's a kicker. Didn't know it was Red Baron. I had no fucking idea.
You were poisoned. Okay, that's not your fault.
I had no fucking idea. I bought it like a week ago. And then I stuffed it in the freezer. And then I looked at it today to like make sure how long it took before. So I was Red Baron. I went, oh, I fucked up. Not going to let it go to waste, though.
Good.
And you enjoyed it, right?
I mean, it went down nicely. But no, I mean, Steve alluded it to earlier. You know, this is a pizza party. I went out. I got myself, you know, a nice little iced pizza right here. We're living life. You know?
I fucking knew it. I fucking called it. Denzel, what kind of pizza do you have?
I have a barbecue chicken pizza from BJ's.
Shit.
It's a little bit, I mean, it's within my reach. At the same time, it's a little bit out of my reach.
But yeah, I've got that. I
pizza from BJ's is my growler from BJ's. It's got beer in it. That's more important than my pizza. Gonna all be right, honest with
right.
you.
I fuck with that. I made individual Sicilian pizzas. Sicilian style.
Is that what 7-Eleven pizza looks like? That looks awful.
Well, no, you were here for it. Ezra wasn't here for it. Fucking Edward ruined my bit.
How?
I feel like he really didn't, and I like you could have kept it going because all he said is you just pulled it out of the oven, which you could have just taken that and been like, okay, well, you're not supposed to tell anybody that I've had the same pizza in the oven for a week. That's kind of what it alluded to. Frozen.
Also, we all know that 7-Eleven doesn't sell Sicilian. We all know this.
They can cut them. I was gonna say, like, I just asked for it to be cut.
You asked for it. No. I don't think so.
Yeah, but at this point, you've doubled down on the ruining of your bit. So I mean,
listen, I go to 7-Eleven sometimes, and I ask for a bag, and I pay for a bag, and they don't give me a bag. What makes you think they're gonna take their time out of their day to cut it a square slice for you?
That's to cut square slices?
They won't even give me a bag that I pay for sometimes.
When you're how upsetting that is, though, I don't even want to have to pay for the bag, but because of the environment, I have to pay for the bag now. But you would not give me a fucking bag after I've paid my 10 goddamn cents for the bag.
I think it's like 12 now.
Whatever it is, I gotta pay for it.
I'm just trying to go in there and buy some Bolt 24, you know?
Man.
I'm just trying to go in there and buy some Bolt 24, some Apple Pear Bolt 24.
What's that?
I don't know
it's
what
a Gatorade, I believe. I believe it's a Gatorade that I saw, and I don't think it's any related. I don't think it has any relation to Kobe, but it has 24 on it, and I always think of Kobe whenever I see one.
Wow, that's his number.
No, just, yeah. I thought you asked what's his number, and I bit into that.
His number is still 8.
It's 8 and 24.
It's both. It's 8, and then 8 sideways, and then 24. Right next to that.
Yeah.
Those are his numbers.
He definitely is like forever.
I think we should. I mean, listen, we're talking about basketball. Can we talk about what just happened yesterday, the All-Star game?
I was going to say, speaking of basketball, before we get to the All-Star game, I just want to the NBA needs to stop having the dunk contest. Now, a couple years ago, I was not someone that was in favor. Like, I used to hear, like, oh, they should just highlight the three-point contest more, especially because in today's league, blah, blah, blah. But I was like, no, it's the fucking dunk contest. It's fucking fun to watch people do stupid shit in the air and dunk the ball aggressively or gracefully.
Yeah.
But now, after having, like, 2-3 years in a row of 4, maybe, like, the last exciting dunk contest for me was when it was Zach LaVine versus Aaron Gordon in the final. Like, that, before then, it was whenever probably Zach LaVine was like in it when he won his first one, but it's not exciting. Like when Donovan Mitchell won it, boring. It was just like, these are fucking boring. Like I see better dunks on Instagram just scrolling through. So they just get rid of that. I don't know what they could replace it with, but yeah, I will say that might be one thing that social media really did have a hand in like killing. It's like dunk contest because you see people just put up clips doing the most ridiculous things.
Jordan Kilgannon have like a 48-inch vertical and like do a fucking around the world behind his back dunk. And it's like, yeah, okay, like, kid.
And I'm supposed to be excited because you windmilled? Like, come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
What about like a crossover?
You blew a kiss to the rim?
Yeah.
That was the dunk that won it. No disrespect to Anthony Simons.
No, disrespect him.
No disrespect at all.
No, all disrespect.
It was trash. I mean,
all disrespect for me. It was awful.
Disrespect to Anthony. And,
I don't care. I don't care.
The dude blew a kiss. He blew a kiss. At least Cassius Stanley. Cassius Stanley, I think, opened up the dunk contest with like a between the legs slam. Yeah. And they gave him a 44. And it's like, Kenny the Jet Smith, like, come on. I know you got some leverage. You got to give him some help in there, you know? Give him a 10, kid. And that's the problem, you know? I mean, the dunk contest hasn't been good since, you know, really, Vince Carter.
It's been Nate Robinson was pretty exciting because he was so small
and
doing all the stuff that he was doing. And then Gerald Green was like, there was like moments where like there were certain people that had like really cool moments. Like Gerald Green was exciting because isn't he the one that did the whole, he blew out the candle on the rim and dunked it?
He like dunked like, barefoot, I think. He did like a, I think he did like between the legs barefoot.
Like Dwight Howard Gerald winning, Green those won. Those were kind of boring. Just
when he was Supermaning.
Yeah, you're Dwight Howard, God. So you're he boring.
He didn't dunk it. He fucking
threw it in there.
Yeah.
And it's like the Blake Griffin years.
It's not interesting.
I mean,
I mean, and he wasn't doing that's the thing. It's just Zach LaVine made it exciting because he brought a lot of those like street dunks that we see on Instagram and wherever else you see that stuff on YouTube. Like, he brought them to the dunk contest. Like, that's all his dunks are. He is, but I'm saying because he was doing those other dunks too,
I agree. But the way he looked dunking,
because he glides through the air.
It
was reminiscent of Vince and Kobe and MJ. These guys would just look like they're flying, make it look easy. And then also, he had a little bit of swagger to him, you know.
Also, random unpopular opinion: Aaron Gordon didn't win that dunk contest. That year against what's his name?
He didn't win against Zach. He didn't win against Derrick Jones Jr. He robbed twice.
Derrick Jones. He didn't win against Derrick Jones Jr. for sure because he didn't clear that dude. I was like, I don't give a fuck. I don't care that I can't jump that high. I don't give a shit. You didn't clear him, and I don't even think he did it on the first try. So, not as excited. Sorry, but I'm not sorry.
No basketball talk.
And against Zach LaVine, he did his best dunk at the worst time. Like, that underneath, that shit was cool. One, I'd seen that before on Instagram, so I wasn't like, oh! And then on top of that, like, Zach had already done something super cool, so you should have left that for your last dunk, but you didn't. Poor timing. So I didn't really care that he lost and then was, I'm not going to do the dunk contest anymore. Shut up.
There's gonna be a seamless transition because speaking of basketball, new photos of Space Jam came out. And there's a big, I don't know if you saw there's a big outrage on Twitter about this Lola Bunny, not being a hottie anymore.
Yeah.
Supposedly, that's what the internet was saying.
Hey, you know what's great about that though? Because normally it's dudes, right? Dudes that have like this thing where she doesn't look hard, this and that. Mm-hmm. For me, what I mostly saw was women saying like, yo, old Lola was way better than this new one. Like, it's mostly women that I see that are like, we don't really fuck with this new one. And I kind of like that. I'm like, yeah, y'all talk about it. I'm not going to say nothing. Y'all can talk about it.
Yeah, you another way.
Yeah, it'd be weird to talk about that stuff,
It's like, so let's talk about it then.
Yeah, all right, well, here's the photo. The one to the left is, and this is for the viewers at home. You could just look up, you could Google Lola Bunny on Google, and then
the one on the right literally didn't have, like, that's not from the movie. It's like art that somebody made later.
Yeah. So
it's getting debunked.
So what they constantly are trying to compare the two Lola Bunnies, the left one from the 90s is like a redesign that someone made to make her like extra, like as if she's like an Instagram
You're saying that's what the one on the right is doing?
No, the left. No, sorry.
Funny because Instagram wasn't even a thing back then.
I know, but they knew. It's like the whole thing with like Miss Incredible? How they
didn't have how she made her dumb thick? She was dumb thick out here.
Yeah,
that didn't make any sense. I was if you put it back up for me real quick, Steve.
Okay.
The two Lolas. Yeah, I see you surfing through it. Yeah. I'll tell you what my real problem is. It's not even about the whole sexy component. It's literally just the one on the left is saucy. Mm-hmm. Like, she's saucy. Like, this is the one on the left is Damian Lillard. Right, saucy game is tough. This is when this person steps on the court, I know they're about to do some damage.
Yeah,
this is like Kawhi Leonard. It's kind of boring. It's not really exciting.
But they're gonna give you numbers.
They're probably gonna hoop, right? But there's nothing saucy about it. Like, it's It's like basketball in its early stages when it was all white people and they were doing those lame dunks. Or not even dunks, I'm sorry. Layups. Yeah. Nobody dunking back then. Oh, it's just kind of boring. It's no sauce to it.
But they were like playing in sneakers and shit. Like,
just for the sake of our argument, let me just throw this in. Because the one on the right, they gave her a shooter sleeve.
Yeah.
And we all know that Lola Bunny is a goddamn shooter. She got range. Yeah. And I do appreciate, I mean, it gives me a little bit of Allen Iverson vibes. You know, I do enjoy the shooter sleeve. Because, I mean, when I think shooter sleeve, I think AI.
Yeah.
Immediately, automatically, I think
AI. I'm sure somebody had one before him, but he's the icon.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, and this is just off the top of the head, I think AI see the shooter sleeve. I think they should, you know, because, I mean, they're all digitally, you know. You know, Lola Bunny's a digital creation for the movie. I think they should, you know, I think you should give her some tattoos.
I was going to say some tattoos would make her saucy.
Yeah. I think she should tattoo Bugs Bunny's teeth on her neck.
That'd be a right shooter
sleeve. You know, she has a right shooter sleeve. She's a righty. On her left, you know, she has Chinese symbols for shooter.
Or Chinese symbols that say, "What's up, Doc?"
Or "What's up?" That's good. That's good.
I'm just saying. The other thing about it, and I don't want to crap all over this artist because it is so impressive that you made it. The face, there's something about the face that's really throwing me off. It looks like it's people who don't have chins. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, and it's just, it's like that. It doesn't go here. Yeah. It goes like that weird thing.
Yeah.
It's just something about it. Like I said, it's just not, I'm not feeling the sauce. Maybe the tattoos would help.
The new ones, they look dead. There's nothing in there.
Yeah, like these ones are there's a little bit more life into them. These ones say, "Hey, y'all know y'all can't check me, right? Y'all know y'all can't check me. You can't guard me. I'm busting all your ass. You can't guard me."
This Lola Bunny was the second best player on the court in Space Jam. Hands down.
To Michael Jordan.
Yeah, the MJ. He's the second best player on the court.
Like, it's not even close. Bugs wasn't compared to him. Like, nobody. She was the only hooper on the squad besides Mike. She was getting buckets. But it's just like I said, this one's just not saucy to me. I'm just something about it that I'm not feeling.
But listen, LeBron, if you're listening, I mean, head over to Warner Brothers. Ask them to put on some tattoos on Lola Bunny. We need an absolute score. We need a shooter over there at point guard because she has to play point.
Yeah.
You know?
If she has that sleeve, it's almost mandatory. She's a guard. Because what is she using that sleeve for as a center, you know? And also, she's a cartoon and she's about 3 feet tall. So she should.
Well, I mean, you say that, but basketball players, a bunch of them have sleeves and can't shoot for shit. Just look at Ben Simmons.
I used to wear some sleeves back in the day when I was like 19 playing basketball, trying to get onto my my community college basketball team.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
What did you play? What position?
I was small forward because I was usually like a big man, but when you're actually trying to play like collegiate, you have to play to your size, and I was, you know. Like there's people
you're
who are taller.
You're small, you're not a big man when in the college and basketball world.
The NBA,
right. For sure not.
So I was playing I was the third tallest of the lot. So I was like, okay, well, if I'm 6'4", I'm be in the lane of small forward. I never made the team. I also wasn't very good, but I looked like I was good because I was with the sauce. As you would say, I had double arm sleeves.
I find that hard to believe.
I had compression pants.
You have a picture? We can see?
No.
I would love to see you dripped out. I would love to see you have a shooter sleeve, a headband.
Have a headband because I would sweat a lot. But here's the thing, too, is that every time I played basketball, I would roll my ankle. And so immediately I was like, I have historically fucked ankles. From carrying on all the weight I did over my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd just be trying to ball, and then I would just drive to the lane, like, and then like just roll my shit, and then be fucking out. So I didn't make the team. And
like, well, I mean, it sounds to me like you couldn't physically make the team.
I just also wasn't very good, and I had no endurance.
I think you were good enough. I've never seen you, you know, in your prime play basketball. But from what if you look good, you play good.
I was dripping in the sauce, they were intimidated. So, you know, but also I didn't have like a low center of gravity. So like anytime someone was posting up on me, they would easily move me because they would go deeper down and then move their ass into my like upper thighs. And then I would just fucking back up, and then they would just easily score on me. So I had no defense. My rebound skills were all right, but there's people who are, you know, who had better hops than me. And
Board man gets paid.
Yeah. So basically, if us four played, I would be a very good rebounder. That's as much as it as I can do.
I'm pretty sure I could out rebound you.
Yeah, you
okay. You well,
you tickle Steve, you know, throw the ball up in the air. I don't think there's any foul.
A better example of like the old Lola versus the new one. It's kind of like when you say terms like dripping in the sauce versus if like. I'm not going to use myself. I'll use Ed. But if like Ed says it, it sounds more natural. With you, it doesn't sound natural. You know what I'm saying?
Because I don't have like a swagger to say dripping. I'm not saying it like it's smooth like butter. Like I'm over here just saying it literally. I was dripping in the sauce. Like
because
I'm
that's exactly why.
I'm sorry, I have a good enunciation. I'm not.
Ezra's co-sign is like, yeah, no, that's that right there. That ain't it. That ain't it. I'm saying right now.
That's what I would say too. That isn't it, Chief. Like, I would do the same shit for that. But like, and dripping sauce.
I do enjoy when you say that is not it, Chief. That I do enjoy that. Though,
that's not it.
Yeah, that's a little funny.
That is not it.
You say that cracked me up. Like when you say that is not it, Chief.
I do enjoy that.
Is the ass fat? Like that kind of tickles me, but like, and it's like you shouldn't be saying this. That's what makes me.
But when you talk about a bad bitty and you describe her, and then you forget that part, I have to ask, like, hey, well, is the ass fat?
It's International Women's Day.
So we have to know.
Oh my goodness!
Of course, Steve is the one that.
I want to know, Steve,
yes.
If you were to be dripping in the sauce, what sauce would you be dripping in?
Like, you know, you're a chef? Any condiment?
You know, you're an amateur professional chef, a professional amateur chef, vice versa. You know, what sort of sauce would you be?
Two come to mind immediately. One is for the refined Steve, and the other is just for the down and dirty Steve. And the down and dirty Steve goes for a blue cheese dressing.
The grifter Steve would be
blue grifter cheese. Steve is a blue cheese bitch. And then old Steve would be a chimichurri.
Ooh, okay.
Because there ain't nothing to it. I'm a chimichurri chief and a blue cheese bitch.
Hey, that's a good name. That's a good basketball nickname for you,
chimichurri chief.
Yeah,
yeah, but I had to be from like South America to make that work, and
yeah,
that's a good like that's your version of blank in the streets, blank in the sheets,
blue cheese, some cherry on the street, blue cheese,
bitch.
That's good.
Okay,
that's
a lot, actually.
For the ladies, I'm a chimichurri chief, but in bed, I'm a blue cheese bitch. That sounds gross, but I'm in for it.
It also sounds unsatisfactory. Like it's what it sounds like. It sounds like not worth the gas. Is what it sounds like.
Then what's the best condiment for bed? You know, what do you think, Denzel?
I was gonna say something that this podcast was not prepared for, so I'm not gonna say it. This isn't the kind of man.
Okay. Well, everyone needs to say one.
It's less of a sauce and more of a juice. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
Orange juice.
Yeah. Orange juice. Yeah.
Orange juice. See, yeah.
I can't say shit like that. I can't say shit like that. Like, because you have something to cover. It's not the sauce. It's the juice. Like,
it's less of a sauce and more of a juice.
Yeah, it's less of a sauce and more of a juice.
Like, yeah, that definitely didn't. I don't think that hit the same as.
That is not it, Chief.
Man, let me tell you what it's not. It's not it.
Answer your question, Steve. I think my answer would be chocolate.
Chocolate sauce?
Yeah. Well, you said for bed.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. I didn't even think that you could go sweet with sauces. I forgot about that. I'm a sweet bitch too. I got a sweet tooth. What about you, Ezra? What do you think?
Oh, I'm thinking like a tangy mango habanero like drizzle.
Ooh,
because it's sweet, but it's a little bit spicy,
In bed,
it makes the lips pop.
Like, I'm not saying I want that involved in my bed.
Yo,
and like the experience of being with me as well.
Yes. Okay, that makes more way more, because I was just like, yo, that is not, like, I wanted to like pause the whole show, like, Ezra, you can't do that.
And
that makes sense. That makes a lot more sense. Oh, I like that. Mango habanero.
I was going for like an allegory, not like a...
Yeah, literally. I'm way more gross in real life than I am.
One choice.
Yeah.
Say that again, Ezra.
Well, the literal, if we're going literal, there's really only one choice for sauce that you want involved in sex.
Yeah, ranch.
Really?
Exactly, ranch.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
have you seen that video of that girl who makes
like, the Eric Andre
special sauce? No, it was when 3-6 Mafia had like a reality show on MTV.
Yeah.
This lady was like, I'm gonna make a special sex sauce that is good for everyone. So she puts a ratio of 1-to-1 ranch and sugar, like regular ass sugar, and she puts it in a bowl together and she takes it to the bedroom. She puts it on herself and the man eats it off, and she puts it on the man and then she licks it off. It's ranch and sugar. Shit sounds gross.
Please refer to the masterpiece of Adventures in Hollywood by its full name, because that show is and always will be tremendous. I mean, I think they had like a party, like a release party, and then their two bodyguards came up with a song that just went, "What you staring at? I ain't a mirror." And I mean, it's still an absolute banger to this day in my head. And also, what happened to Lil White? You know, what happened to their token white guy?
Oh, whatever happened to him? He's right here, baby, dripping in the sauce. I'm gonna look up all of the slang sayings that they're saying now.
Don't do that. Just let it go. Yeah, I will say just really quick, just as a public service announcement for anyone who might be listening to this, just food, whilst sounds fun in a sexual way, is not necessarily the greatest thing for a little thing called like pH balance. I just want to let everybody keep that in mind.
Don't be shoving food into your lady parts.
Yeah,
I also want to say this.
Or your guy like, parts.
On this day, if not any other, let it be known.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let four men tell women what to do with their bodies.
This is.
I told dudes not to shove stuff up their man parts. You brought the women involved.
We're giving advice, you know.
I don't want to misuse the platform and let a bunch of people just. I don't want someone to walk out there and be like, "Ooh, there's this chocolate sauce that Ed was talking about. Let me just bring that in here."
Well, because
you need to understand what comes with that. It's not the greatest thing.
I don't want Johnny. I don't want Johnny come lately, who's listening to this podcast. You know, taking a chocolate dipped strawberry and then putting it into orifices that shouldn't. You know. Go
Johnny, come lately, if you're listening to this podcast right now, don't put anything in your pee hole.
For sure. Like, for sure, don't do that.
Yeah, no holes except for your mouth do foods go into.
To piggyback off what Denzel just said, though, I also, as much as I think and I support, you know, the use of chocolate and anything else you want in bed or any location for your sexual escapades. Mm-hmm. I would also personally, I don't think I would ever do it just because it's a goddamn mess in bed. It's already more of a mess than it's gonna be. And it's like, I don't want to go through the process of like cleaning up this. It's gonna be such a fucking hassle.
Yeah, because you have to clean it. Bed sheets makes it easy.
Exactly.
I want to get more.
Now, if you go to a hotel,
open up the
wallet, leave a nice tip on the table. You know, thank you. How you doing? Keep it moving.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially because they really.
I'm sorry for the mess. Here's some payment for it.
Going into that, because granted, it's their job, but hotel service workers, who live in, let's just say, who work in more tropical climates that people like stereotypically go for like their honeymoon if they choose to go. Mm-hmm. Like, who do you think they pull like straws to see who has to get the honeymooners? Like, who's like, hey, listen, I don't want to clean that room. I don't want to do it at all.
I think it should be based on pay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you take all the honeymoon suites, you get paid a little bit more because you know that's
dirty work.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like the honeymooners aren't that, like, they wouldn't be that bad. Like, there's a lot of sex happening, but it's like pretty normal sex, you know?
Yeah. You think so?
It's the creeps who are around. The creeps, have I ever had sex? No. But the creeps. No. But it's like the creeps who are around who like the couple who you're like, oh, that couple does something weird. That's who I don't want to clean up after, you know?
Oh, okay.
Now I feel attacked.
I see.
I'm not coming for you.
Hotels are. I would definitely be that couple.
I also want to let. not to piggyback on Ezra, but I'm going to piggyback on Ezra. You know, it is International Women's Day, and I also want to say I am also a virgin. I've also never had sex. You know, I am with women.
Because we're allies. So yeah.
I would try to say that, but too many people that know me personally actually do, like, watch our show or listen later on. Mm-hmm. I can't get that.
I mean, yeah, I can't promise that. Hey,
you, the two of,
and listen, no, my dad just texted me. I assume as soon as I open this text message, the text message is gonna read, "Quit lying, bitch."
Wait, that said your dad? Because my mom also texted me. You can't see that. A few people text me, but yeah, I can't promise that either.
Weird flex, but okay.
No, I thought it was like because they would know that we can't say that because they'd be lying. Like, they know that we'd be lying.
When did you start speaking French?
It's International Women's Day. And we're having a pizza party.
You know, parlez-vous français, mademoiselle?
Okay, is that where the French came from? Okay.
Are you my trying sweater? To go it is noir, you know. I wish it was rouge. You know, I just watched Lupin, Omar Sy, Bonjour, you know. International Women's Day. I'm international. What can I say? I'm here to
speaking
support.
Of international, this is like completely off the rails. But hey, Steve.
Yes.
You are of the Hispanic group.
Yes. I am indeed.
As long as I've known you, I've never really known you to speak it as Spanish that much.
Yeah.
Do you get flack from other, like, when you go back to Mexico? Yeah. You also go back to Mexico a lot.
Yeah.
What is that get like?
I got more shit when I was going to Cal State LA because
I was going. That's what I wanted to ask. Do you get more shit from other Hispanics here in America for not speaking it than you do? That's so. I don't know why that's so funny to me, but like, just that cracks me up. Like, you don't speak Spanish and you're Mexican.
Yeah. See, we have like a pride thing here that over there, like me being able to speak Spanish like a little bit, and being as white as I look, as tall as I am.
They're already impressed.
Yeah, they basically, like, I wouldn't say that they're, like, it's kind of like a power thing. Like, they know that I'm, like, like aristocrat there. Yeah.
Okay.
So like I don't even worry about like, okay, I can't say this thing well, because why the fuck do I, why should I care? If anything, yes. if I need you to hear yes. something from me, like you need to figure it out, because if I want something, you got to give it to me. So when I ask for a retin-A over there, because I get my retin-A in Mexico because it's cheaper and I don't need a prescription. And that's my anti-aging cream. That just injects straight collagen into my face.
How does that work for you, a guy who's the Instagram filter always tells you you're like 62?
Yeah, that's why I started doing it. Because I'm also going to start getting Botox too at some point, like in the next year or two.
God, what a great life you live.
What?
A big vein of shit. Yeah, what a beautiful life you live. I know you didn't ask me, but I'm going to answer it also because I'm also Hispanic. I never really got too much flack from other people, nor from my family, but because I spoke Spanish first in my family before I spoke English, and then all my other siblings spoke English first before Spanish, and their Spanish is a lot worse than mine.
Hmm.
And then going to school, you know, I am Hispanic. I do have, you know, light skin, though, so not many people would know that I was Hispanic, and when they do, I never really got any flack. Mm-hmm. And it's good because, I mean, if I ever got flack from someone at school and be like, oh, how come you don't speak Spanish? How come you don't speak? I'd be like, how come you don't have a 401k? You know?
Oh, shit.
I would just hit them with some truth and then I'd walk away. I'd walk away knowing I just fucking got them. And if they do have a 401k, I don't know about it. I'm leaving either way before they get me back.
That's how you think.
I know, I was wrong.
That's how you have to do that, though. When you make statements, you have to make statements and leave. You can't stay. You got to say them and bounce. Because if you stay, it allows for someone to respond. No, fuck that. I said what I said. I'm out.
I'm out. You make a Twitter account. You comment, listen, dude, you got tiny teeth and your eyes are too close together. And then you immediately delete that Twitter off your phone.
Okay, good.
You never come back to it.
Never.
That comment is out on the ether. So is the knowledge that person has tiny teeth and their eyes are too close together, and that's it.
The tweet could be blowing up.
I commented that on my only tweet yesterday, and I was like, "Who the hell is this guy?"
It wasn't me.
They said that about you, Ezra.
Wasn't me. You can't prove it.
I guess not. I
can't prove it.
Wasn't me. You can't prove it either. It's out in the ether. Who knows? But yeah, I mean,
it wasn't even. I didn't even tweet a picture.
They just knew that the way that you tweeted made it seem like you had your eyes too close together and your teeth were too small.
Yeah.
Because they tweet a certain type of way. You know, they're like, it's like, oh, shut up, tiny teeth.
That's a quote of my tweet. So this is spot on.
You could smell it in the air. It's like,
you know.
I feel bad because
we're out of conversation down with that bit. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. We're 40 minutes into this show, and I haven't even talked about a woman yet.
I'm gonna be honest with you.
What?
I don't know if Ed's been doing it on purpose, but I've definitely been just trying to derail whatever you wanted to do in the beginning with interesting conversation that I knew everyone would get on board with.
All right,
I've just been like, speaking of.
Light is on me. Do I feel a little bit warm right now? Yes. Is my face blushing? Yes. Does that mean I could be lying? Absolutely. Am I? No, not at all, dude. Never be.
My God.
That's a beautiful thing. I mean, Steve, we all know, the world knows that you and Sarah Bareilles are kind of a thing.
Oh, are we?
In your head, anyway.
Let me zoom in on this shit.
So while he does that, I want to ask him also. I want to basically multitask. I haven't seen you post anything, reach out to her. What's happening?
We're in the fight right now.
Did something happen with Sarah B?
Yeah.
What happened with Sarah B?
A little restraining order.
Oh, no.
You filed one against her?
Yeah, no. I should have. But no, she was like, because here's the thing is that like one of my things, no, I'm not even gonna go into that bit. That's too crazy. I was gonna be like, oh, I collect, you know, locks of Sarah Bareilles' hair. Like, it's like,
you know, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't do that. You shouldn't have even said that.
Yeah, especially on International Women's Day.
That's what I'm saying.
Is it international or just national?
I think it's international.
Are the people in like Australia fucking with this too? Or
let's check the calendar.
Like, International Day of Blank is something that I think it's declared in the US. Maybe that's my US centric worldview. But like, yeah, I think like the US, like, it's international this day, and people are like, it is? Okay, I guess it is.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it is International Women's Day. So I guess,
I mean,
yeah.
is it March like Women's History Month in general?
Yes. Yes.
It is?
Yeah, so I,
why would you put their Women's Day in their own month? Put that shit somewhere, give that shit over, move it over to like, you know, like June or something. You know, give them
listen, as the only black man,
I said that, and I knew you were going to go there.
I didn't want to put it at the end of June.
Like,
I don't want to be the guy to be like, oh, women gotta wait for the black folks to get it ordered. But like, why is Black History Month not in like June?
Like, why is June it the shortest month of the year?
Wait, so you that's want
another one?
You want June or a Black History Month with Juneteenth?
Now I'm just like, you're just like wondering, like, hey, what would probably make more sense? Like, that's a day that a lot of black people celebrate for various reasons. If you do, you do, you don't, but like, why is February and what is the, you know, drop that's the shortest month?
Why is it Black History Month? Yeah, why is Valentine's Day the most loving day in the calendar year and the shortest month of the year? You know, what are all these things that, you know, Julius Caesar had against February, you know? Mm-hmm. Because he invented the calendar.
Yeah. Julius Caesar said, this will be the shortest month of the year, and it'll be the month we celebrate love and black people.
Absolutely. Well, you guys want a little history knowledge about the year?
I'll
talk more about women, dude.
Speaking of women, though, are you guys at all interested in the Zack Snyder Justice League cut that's coming out on March 18th?
I'll probably watch it if it's free. Yeah.
I mean, it'll be on HBO.
I saw someone try to watch Tom and Jerry today. And I don't like that.
You saw Andrew trying to watch it? Is that what you're saying?
No. It was on Twitter. I saw someone on Twitter try to watch Tom and Jerry. I was stream sniping them. They were streaming, and they clicked Tom and Jerry to watch, and then all of a sudden Justice League started playing.
Whoa.
And then Justice League played for like a full hour or something, and then the quality of video went down, and then the screen went black, and it said error, and they're like, oh, shit. So, you know, someone at HBO Max has got some explaining to do.
They really don't want
to. Especially on a day like today.
I wonder if like anyone else had that happen to them. Like, if you could Google that up, like, would there be any like?
Well, I mean, you probably wouldn't have that much of it because people hate that fucking film, so they're not really like in a rush to watch it. Probably happens once every 6 months from the one person who tries to watch the original awful, shitty Joss Whedon Justice League film that they put together. Fucking piece of shit.
I just logged back onto my Twitter to see if I could find some evidence of it. And immediately I got just a random follow from someone that I'm going to shout out later. Took a quick look at a profile. Probably not going to be appropriate for the show, but it's an International Women's Day. We're going to plug her.
Good.
Because maybe she wants to do it as well. No, I don't think so. Hopefully not. I mean, Twitter's just beautiful, isn't it?
Twitter's great.
Twitter's just beautiful because it's a beautiful mess. And speaking of beautiful messes, we all know that I have a mullet. I've been getting a little bit weak lately because I've been wanting to cut my mullet. Mm. And I know the last day and a half, I've really been thinking about it. Like just go get a haircut. And it's just like this constant battle that I'm having internally. And the problem that I keep coming to is like I'm gonna feel so much better when I do get the haircut eventually. I don't know if I want to do it now because this is the longest I've ever had my hair. I want to keep growing it out. I want to see what it grows into. I want to see how far I can get until my manager goes, cut it or you're fired, basically. Because every time I walk in there, she's like, you need to comb your hair. And I go, thank you. And then I walk away. But yeah, it's getting to be a problem for me. And I could use, you know, I could use your thoughts and prayers, really, to help me come to a final decision. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. If anything, trim the top, but like keep the back growing. It's a mullet. You need the mullet still. Like I didn't look. I'm growing a mullet too. I'm very far behind, not compared to Ed's. But mine came from a dream.
You have like buzz number four in the back of your head.
Yeah, but
okay. No, there's a little bit there. I take it back.
Yeah. For the viewers at home. It's like month three of me doing this. So I'm nowhere near where Ed's at. But at the same time, when I had the dream, I felt like I needed to do it. The first thing I did at 9:30 in the morning is I texted Ed and I told him, I need to do this, but I also need your blessing because there can't be two people with mullets in the house.
Do you remember what I texted you about? A
blessing. And you said, I don't care. And
I could have told you what he texted you back.
Yeah, we're all doing that. Yeah. And, but like, my hair power works off of you having yours. It's like, you know, you walked so I can run.
Listen, I mean, I got a mullet. Miley Cyrus then got a mullet after me. Mm-hmm. Who knows how many people she's inspired to get mullets? Not due diligence, but I've done, you know, my part in growing the mullet community. You are just another member of the, I don't want to call it a cult, but you know.
I'll say this though,
go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say this as somebody else who has quite a bit of hair. There's definitely days where I'm like, I'm just going to cut this shit off.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of my friends tell me that they'd hurt me if I did, and I just don't think I'd be loved if I didn't have my hair, so I just leave it. I don't know if that helps you at all.
I agree. I feel the same way.
Yeah, that's...
Listen, let me tell you two one thing. If anybody cares about your hair more than you, fuck them. Mm-hmm. Or fuck them, but like, fuck them, you know? Because if you didn't, if each of you cut your hair, I'd be like, hey, that's Denzel and Ed. I still think of them exactly the same way, you know?
Yeah.
What if it's like the, you know, like heavy set dudes are like, who are funny and they lose weight and they're like, am I still funny?
Mm-hmm. But I think every day. Yeah.
Every day of my life. And we just got a thumbs up because someone knows that that's how I feel every day. Mm-hmm. If you thumbed up that, I want you to comment and say, yeah, I know you, Steven. And yeah, you might still be funny now that you're 150 pounds less. Or no, I know you, Steve, and you're actually not funny anymore. Maybe get fat or become a dramatic actor or an accountant or something.
You should become a dramatic actor, 1,000%. That's true. Second that. I don't know if they said that, but I second that.
It's not because you're not funny. It's just because that'd be cool.
Your drama.
Yes. Yes.
You guys have my drama. Like,
if we were land masters.
I thought you were just going to say, we've seen your life. Like, your life.
Yeah, I'll tell you all
this. Dramatic as shit. I'm not talking about anything that might be drama related. I mean, you are dramatic as shit. Yes.
What's the most dramatic thing I've done, Denzel, that you remember?
This is now getting into like, I don't know. This is like actual feelings.
I'm going to go with stuff like that. Show for 2 months?
Nah.
No? Okay. All right.
Because what's funny is I think I talked to Steve. I didn't know that he had left for 2 months, but I think I talked to Steve like in that time period. Never fucking mentioned it. Like, so yeah, no, I don't.
I guess that was a bunch back thing. Everyone else became a lord, and I could not fathom it because what was I? And then I left. Yeah, I guess that is pretty dramatic.
It's pretty dramatic.
I'm an emotional person, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, which is still so funny how, like, you, me, and Ed get along so well.
It's a dynamic that we
put... What do you mean? You say that, Denzel?
We're not, bro.
Dynamic.
Very emotional. I'm about to cry, dude.
You're right, man. My bad. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have gone that far. You know what? One of the most dramatic moments, honestly, this is like real life. This isn't related to the show at all. When Ed and I did the running joke for I don't know how long we did it and irritated you and Sean, how upset you got that we kept saying that you and Sean were the same person. Now, the listeners may not remember Sean. I don't know if you do, Ezra, if you were on the show when he was here, but Sean is one of our really, really like long running friends. And one day, I don't know how it dawned. I don't know if it was Ed that said it first, or if it was me, or if we just kind of both thought it at the same time. Who fucking knows? But we looked at, we were at a fucking like,
one we of were those at the hat.
Craft stores. Yeah, but then we go to like a craft store later and we kept the joke going. Steve was livid. Like, Sean wasn't that upset. Sean was just like, like, that was just Sean's kind of take on it.
Was upset.
Yeah, Steve was so upset. He said, like, they're the same person, that's what made Sean go, the fuck is wrong with me that you have an issue? And, like, Ed and I didn't care. We were like, this is fucking hilarious that Steve is so upset.
And what it is, honestly, is that, like, that was a time in my life where I was one of, I had a big ego, and I didn't want to be compared to anyone. I was Steve Sotelo, and now that I look back, I'm like, why did I care so much? I had a big ego, and it was also fragile, and it still is, I guess, because I left for 2 months, but...
We were like looking at Steve and saying, "Hey, Sean," and vice versa.
He really is a fantastic person too. I love him.
Sean is the greatest. It was just like Steve was like, ugh! He was so angry, and this was still big bodied Steve. This wasn't new body Steve. So it just that memory is so much more funny for me because we literally did that all day long and didn't care that.
I'm trying to think of another. I'm trying to think of probably maybe the most dramatic thing that you know you ever done to me.
Oh shit!
And because I mean,
we live together, so every day is a dramatic event.
I think it would be, like when we not initially met, but after a year or so in college, when as a joke I changed my Facebook's profile to Steve Sotelo.
Yeah,
and my like 4 year anniversary was with my girlfriend was like around the corner and I wasn't able to change it back due to Facebook rules. Mm-hmm. So for the anniversary, it was like, congrats, you know, Steve Sotelo and, you know, on your like 4 years together. And I was like, oh, she is not happy about this. And then that eventually led to, you know, Steve Sotelo cursing us. And then we eventually broke up in the future over that small prank.
I did. So
that was maybe the most dramatic thing.
More upset than she was.
Me. She was a lot more upset. Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe not. Maybe you were. I guess
he was just like, "Oh shit, I can't change it." I was mad because it's like, why? Why is it that I could only have a girlfriend if someone literally has to be me already with a girlfriend, and then it celebrates that? So it's like a extra flex that I have an anniversary that I'm not a part of. And then she was mad that she was dating me and not Ed or whatever. So she was like, "Well, fuck! I want to be with this son of a bitch. I want to be with Ed." I
mean, didn't want to be with me either. Eventually, so. that's the Steve Sotelo curse right there. At the end of the day, that's the most dramatic thing you did to me.
Yeah.
I just do love that. Yeah, being your friend is a series of like dramatic adventures that are just like, how did we get here? Why was Steve so mad? Another one, when we were doing the shows, right, the improv shows, quick backstory for anyone who doesn't know, we used to do improv shows. Steve was a team leader, and so he kind of, because he'd already been doing improv, so he had taught a bunch of us. I don't remember which show it is exactly, but I remember here's a little to toot our horn real quick. I'm just to be a little cocky. Just you know, really quick.
Yeah.
Hold on, I'm sorry. Give me a second.
Oh.
Ed, I just want to acknowledge the fact that Ed and I. Sorry, a little behind the curtain action, as Adam would say. It's all over the place.
It is.
A little bit.
I think we're showing up.
Oh my god. This right here is a championship belt that Ed also has the matching one because mm-hmm. we won a little thing called, what did you call it? March Madness was your creative name for it.
It was March Madness.
And then like Ed and I typically for the improv shows, for being two people who weren't like classically trained, right? We're pretty fucking good. I'm just not going to lie to you. We're pretty good at understanding the crowd and when to do what and when. So Steve made the mistake of letting a computer put him, myself, bang, right there. There it is. Him, myself, and one of our other friends, Josue, on the same team. And when I tell you we murdered. Now, maybe Ed and I got a little, you know, maybe we started feeling ourselves a little bit much. But like at that point...
We can rambunctious. I'm sorry, buddy.
You know? Like, I don't know. Kind of like, we fucking won. We don't care what you guys are doing. So the next show, Steve had, like, this thing where he was pairing people up, and he wanted us to prepare a thing and this whole sort of shebang. And not going to lie to you, I didn't really do it. Like, I didn't really come in prepared at all. Like, I knew what... I think I was doing it with Sean, right? And we were arguing... Something about like Dumbledore or something.
Dumbledore and Gandalf. versus Gandalf.
Yeah. And I had nothing walking in, Ezra. Yeah. Absolutely nothing. And I don't think whatever Ed was doing, I don't think Ed had really prepared much either for whatever his topic was. But we're at that point, like I said, we're kind of like, hey, man, like, doesn't matter what we get up here and do, we're going to be funny. Like, it's just what's going to happen. So. Mm-hmm. I went up there and did my thing. I think I did it with Sean. Yeah, because Sean was Team Gandalf. And I was with one of the girls. Who was I with? Because she was also like Team Dumbledore.
I think it was...
I don't remember who.
It was me and Lily. We were Team Dumbledore. Because I had the elder one.
That's right. And yeah, and Sean and I were Gandalf. And that's what made it even better. I don't know shit about Gandalf. Lord of the Rings is cool. I was more of a Harry Potter fan growing up. I don't know shit about Gandalf. Sean is a big Gandalf fan. So I was just like, I'm just going to, like, before when we were supposed to be rehearsing what we were going to do, I just kind of sat there on my phone looking up Gandalf facts versus Dumbledore and then a bunch of other random facts because, you know, the same actor played both. That had nothing to do with nothing, but I knew it'd be funny. Wrote them down, went up there. We were funny. Not saying Steve wasn't funny because he was funny. I don't know if he had all that great of support. Ed eventually did his thing. Ed was funny.
Oh yeah, we had the whole show was dueling comedic debates on certain pop cultures.
Yes.
So
yeah,
the one that me and Edward were going against each other on, it was Stone Cold versus Cold Stone. So ooh. You had to choose
didn't
whether
you pick Cold Stone?
I was Team Stone Cold, and then Ed and I think Ed and Andrew were Team Cold Stone. And so they literally brought Cold Stone ice cream for the crowd. And I was like,
the team that gives out ice cream wins. That's an improv rule.
What? Killed it. Now, here's where this show started to go. Other people who had these elaborate ass fucking get-ups and all this other shit that are closer to Steve than myself.
Yeah.
Fucking tanked. Like it bombed like high heaven. This is also someone who's kind of I don't know. He and I just didn't always agree with each other, but nevertheless, he just fucking tanked and Steve was upset, but like Ed and I didn't understand why he was upset, and we didn't make it any better because we were like, but we were there and we were funny. Like we don't understand. And Steve was so like, it's just not about you guys, okay? Like you guys just can't stroll in here and blah blah, because that the person who like it, everything malfunctioned, the computer malfunctioned, the shit went left. It was like quicksand sinking quick, and it was a real dull moment in the show. And I think he was more towards the end, and it just got really bad. And Steve was so upset, but the show was still, for the most part, good. Okay, like, the beginning was funny, the middle was funny, and the end, one half of the end, kind of missed.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Steve was so upset with us, specifically, like, Ed and I, and me specifically even more so, and Sean, because Sean wasn't entirely prepared when he came in either, and I didn't help, because it's not like I really hit up Sean, like, hey, we should really get together and figure out some things
together.
Whenever Sean would hit me up, like, yo, what do you want to do? Like, we'll figure it out. That was our response every single time. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. Yeah, now, if it wasn't for the fact that I was probably with Steve, would I have probably done more? Like, if it was somebody else that I wasn't friends with, I probably would have taken that more seriously. But because it was Steve, and I was like, in my brain, I was like, he's not gonna be mad as long as it's funny. But like, because the rehearsal went so bad, because none of us had anything, Steve was so nervous. So within that like 30 to an hour minutes, like hour span, we came up with a bunch of shit, and like, he was still upset with us though. And we were like, but we were funny.
Yeah, I still whether or not the show went well, it's still like, I had all that stress. I couldn't just be happy with that. I had to be mad, because it's like, come on, man. Like, I'm over here worrying. I'm over here like trying to put this show together, because like, I need to prove it to the school that like, what I like, because it was a risk. Like, we were doing this at Cal State LA, and I literally became the president of an organization solely for the purpose of putting these shows on. Like, I was like, I want to bring improv to this school and make it something where like, we can have it for years to come. And they would be like, okay, we actually have shows now. So every show was like, it was like an individual battle on its own to prove to the administration. And we were like overcrowding rooms and shit. Like, that was my favorite part. We definitely peaked, because it was like Renegade, and people were like, people thought that we were just like doing these random ass shows until like, we were getting 60 people to come see us on a Friday night, and it's a Friday night at a commuter school. Yeah, so we were like, we're fucking killing it. And then I think that confidence, we just rode that into like March Madness, and that worked because we went into a bigger theater with more shit that we can do. And so we were still riding on that until our last show, which was the one that they're talking about, the debate show. And that's where it was like, okay, well, because it worked four times before, it should work this last time, or this time around. And it was like, oh man, like, I was sweating bullets. And
there was group drama. Feelings.
There was hell. I brought that drama in too. That's what.
But meanwhile, Ed and I, it was, let's say, as probably the two closest people to him, like in that little group, like, we didn't help ease the stress, like, because we knew we were so close to Steve, and we're just like, we're gonna be funny. I don't know how. Yeah. I don't know how yet. I don't know how yet. But we're gonna be funny. It's just gonna work.
Yeah.
And it worked, but we were still just, Ed and I were just so confused. Not even confused. I mean, I can't even say confused. We probably just didn't care. Because we're like, Steve will get over it. Like, I think by the end of, we went to go have like dinner or / breakfast, because it was late, early in the morning. Yeah. And like, by the end of the whole thing, Steve was perfectly fine. But like, in the beginning, he was not happy.
Yeah. When you have all that producer stress, like, any little thing, producing stuff is so stressful. Any little thing is like, make you nuts, especially when it's like the people you count on not doing their pre-work. Oh man, I get it.
Stressful. Ezra, you know, has that happened to you before? Like, what's the worst situation that you've been a part of?
Every time we step on the show.
Well, okay, it's not the same, but my friends and I put together this election night show for the 2016 election, where we were so ready to announce Hillary Clinton's victory. And obviously, as everything came in, we're like in producer mode. We're like, none of our bits work if he loses. None of our bits work if he loses, which obviously should not have been top of mind. Our first concern would be the country's fucked if he loses. But no, it was everybody's bits won't work if he loses. And then if he wins, I mean. And then as the night went on and it became clear, the show just devolved into everyone, performers, producers, audience, just like drinking and crying together.
Jesus.
It was fucking terrible.
And this was, were you here in Hollywood already or in LA?
No, this was in Seattle.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So here's the funny thing, like to be on the other side of that, I said when it came to the improv group, I think like for me anyway, I can't speak for Ed, but for me, like I wasn't ever really too concerned because I knew that when we had practices when Steve, were they Saturdays? I don't remember what were they Sundays?
Sundays,
right? And Steve and Ed would come up from Alhambra, where Ed lived at the time. And Sean and I would drive up to Upland. We would meet in the middle. And there are guys who already lived in Upland who were doing it or near Upland, like way closer than us. Mm. So my thing always kind of was, I've put in the work to kind of get to this point. Like not like, and I'm not like, not. Like I know that I'm a funny individual, just on an everyday sense. But even at that, like when Steve asked me to do it, like I took it serious. I
came to
practice. I don't think I wasn't ever at practice because I was working at Allstate at the time, and I think I had, unless I didn't have Sundays off, maybe I don't remember.
I think you chose like to take Sundays off to do it. You were working at Allstate at the time.
Yeah, time to come do the practice. So like by the time, and Steve, and I was, my thing with Steve, and he and I talked about it later. I was like, I felt like he did such a great job at teaching us improv, especially like this ragtag bunch of people who never really did it. Like Steve did it in high school. You know what I mean? Like he had already been doing it. I don't think you had taken the UCB classes yet.
I hadn't officially taken those, but I was getting coachings in long form. So I had learned all of like the UCB improv stuff before I got to UCB.
Yeah. So it was like by the time that we had started, and we had been practicing before the first show, we were practicing for a while. Mm-hmm. Like we were just kind of just practicing.
Like a year.
Yeah, for a long time. So it was like, it wasn't like we were just doing this for a few weeks and then boom. We were just jumping into it. We had a lot of time to kind of click and develop. Like in that time, Ed and I got super close. You know what I mean? Like, so Ed and I's chemistry was always pretty good because he and I just get each other for the most part. So it was pretty, I said, by the time like anything happened, I was like, I'll figure it out. Like, and it's just kind of honestly how I've always lived my life to a certain extent. Like I was the same way in school. Like I never did homework. And I've talked about it on here. Like I did more work trying to figure out how many times I cannot do homework versus doing it. Funny, like at least in that setting, once I figured out the concept or where I fit most of the time in within our stuff, I was like, this is easy. Once we get in front of everybody, okay, they're laughing at this. Okay, let's ride this out some more. Like that shit just became super easy. So being the, I don't want to say talent in exchange because Steve was talent, but he was also running everything. You know what I mean? Yeah. He was booking the days for the shows every month, and that was always a thing. I just got to walk in there and just kind of do what I do and leave.
The one thing Steve wanted.
But
Steve asked you to do one thing.
I feel like Steve knows me. Yeah. I was like, Steve knows. Like, I'm not going to let this show tank.
Yeah.
Like I might be really annoying. The other part though was we had started moving in more people into the main group.
Yeah.
So Steve not only made because our name was Shasta Cola, which was funny, and the other one was
sponsored by Shasta Cola and we got that name from every practice. For some reason I threw a party and someone came in with like a shit ton of Shasta Cola and they just like left it there. And so like I always just had Shasta Cola at the house and I was like, what do you guys want today to drink? And they're like, give me a regular, I'll take an orange or whatever, or Tiki Punch. And so at some point we were like, all right, we need a name. And they're like, well, I mean, we only drink Shasta Cola. Let's just call ourselves sponsored by Shasta Cola. And I was like, yeah, let's do it. And the name for Cal State LA's team was Bed Bath & Beyond.
Yeah.
And that was just a play on name that I already had in my back pocket. And so it was easy to brand it. Because those are like similar like branding things. Like we're branded over like just coming up with like an ass cat or something that no one would ever get. This at least has some sort of familiarity. So
yeah, those people were a lot like their time to develop was a lot less than ours.
Yeah.
And aside from that, we got to develop as friends. So it was that me, helps a lot. Ed, Josue, Sean. Yeah, so like and Cameron, shout out Cameron.
Yeah.
And there was other people who were on the team with us at first and just kind of fell off due to inconsistency.
Yeah.
People Steve would try and introduce, but they just didn't work out. And so we had a chemistry that wasn't just for the team. Like, we were friends. So there was just certain stuff that we would just click and do. These other people, while they might have known each other and been, like, loosely cool, they weren't, like, cool. Like, Ed and Steve and I are still cool to this day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I still fuck with Josue. And Sean's still my guy. Like, we're still friends. Like, I don't know how often, like, the other ones.
Bed Bath Beyonce, I only talk to, like four of them still or so.
It was an interesting thing for Steve to always be a little nervous. Like, there was, and like I said, we didn't help it. It's specifically Ed and I. I mean, I'm not going to keep putting it on Ed. I'll say me. I know I definitely didn't help it. Besides coming to practice and always, like, being reliable in that sense, I did not fucking help any of Steve's, like, pre-show jitters. I would fuck around during practice right before the show. I would be over here flirting with whoever was there.
Yeah.
Just
ultimately, that's kind of what I wanted at the end was, like, because these two teams, like, Denzel and all of them from Shasta Cola being from Upland, like, or like being based in Upland, not anywhere near Cal State LA. And then I had this other team at Cal State LA who were like the main team. Like, it was still like we wanted to build a camaraderie. So like at the end, like after every show, we would all go out and like celebrate that show because like it was still an accomplishment. We did something with no budget. And it's kind of like it's like the shows that happen like at the clubhouse, but I always put more acclaim to our shows because where some people would put shows up like at the Pack Theater or the clubhouse where it's like, okay, just come in for free, we got beer or whatever. We would collect money. There is one time where someone just dropped the whole bill on us, like just because they're like, yeah, you guys are the shit.
That's great.
And then there was some guy was trying to become our manager, like, and that was wild too, because that ended up in a disaster. That's where I think it started getting sour, because that was Edward was there for it. It was a 4th of July show, right? So this guy tells us, like, all right, hey, I have a show for you if you guys want to do like a gig for 4th of July. We're doing a yacht party. And we're trying to get entertainment together.
Oh my God.
And I would like for you guys to be a part of that. And he was like pitching as like, yeah, we know people. We know someone who's like a producer on the show, this Fox show. And they're like, yeah. And so they're doing this thing. It's at a yacht. So it's going to be like an all day thing. And at the end you watch fireworks. And so, and it's with Morgan Chestnut. Or Morris Chestnut.
Okay.
And I was like, we're about to fucking meet Morris Chestnut. And so he was like, yeah. It's going to be a great time. Just get a small group of you. Because I know there's like 15 or 20 of you guys. And I was like, okay, all right. And I was like, all right, how can I put this together to make it work? And with close proximity to my apartment, because it was over the summer. And I get this small group together, like six of us. We go. When they tell us that it's a yacht, we're like looking for a yacht, right? What it ends up being is this fucking boat. this boat, rinky dinky boat off of like an 8-person yacht or like dock. And so what it actually was just like the people who rent, who keep their boats on that dock, all just wanted a 4th of July thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so like we got invited to this fucking like kickback thing to do improv on the dock. Where like we are like, imagine like the dock is like long ways, right? We're over here, we're at the top, and everyone was like down here, like lined up. So we are eye level with everyone else. No one's looking up and watching us. Like, and then the amount of times we had someone go, "Speak louder," was incredibly deflating. Yeah. Once we were done, we did our like our 15 minutes or whatever, and we left. We were thinking we're gonna stay there the whole time. We're gonna have a great time. We're gonna fucking celebrate. We were gonna make it. We were making it. We were moving up. we were bypassing all of the indie team stuff that like people had to do. No,
yeah,
this was the worst thing in my life. And after that, like we were gonna all celebrate. Like we are all gonna hang out, get drunk at my house. Everyone immediately goes home. Like individually, once we get back to my apartment. And it was the saddest thing. I went home to go talk to my mom because I was like, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me. And Edward was like, this is fine, whatever.
I still believe it. Yeah. I still believe it. I still stand by my statements that day of that was fun. We're fine.
But Ed also is a lord of chaos. Yeah. So
listen. I'm on the fucking pier, and if these fucking schmoes next to me are getting yelled at to talk louder and they don't, I can't do anything about it.
Mm-hmm. See, now here's the
thing. I can only go louder myself. And if what am I going to do? I did great. I came out of there smelling like roses.
Which, like, here's that energy is the shit that would piss Steve off about Ed and me. Because we're going to be like, the rest of you probably did suck. We were funny, but here's the rough thing about that for Steve, that yacht thing. He took people who weren't like the ones that had the chemistry together like that. Because I couldn't go because I couldn't get off of work, because at Allstate that year, that was one of the holidays that my office had to work. And there is no getting out of that. So I had to work that holiday. I don't remember if I came over to your apartment later. I don't remember if I did or didn't, or if I was over there like not.
That 4th of July, no one was over. Because usually have something. Like the year before, everyone came over. I made burgers for everyone. We lit some fireworks. We were drinking beer. It was a great time.
You want to come over July 4th?
I'm with it. But everyone
want to come over 4th of July?
Some people are going to have.
Once you guys, we'll be vaccinated completely. Yeah. If you guys want to come. I'm putting together my back patio to have like a barbecue, a little patio seating area.
Listeners out there, for all you listeners out there, not fucking invited.
They're not invited or they you're are
not invited. No, they're not invited. I don't want to hang out with anyone out there.
I mean, what if like Morris Chestnut is listening to this and going, "Wow, that guy was there. Like, maybe I know that person or something." And it's like they want to come.
He wasn't there.
Wait, Morris Chestnut wasn't actually there, was he?
No, he wasn't there.
And I don't even. Here's the thing: is that no one there looked like they produced shit on that show.
No, of course not. They tricked you.
They're all like 60-year-olds. They're geriatrics.
Tricked us.
One of them was like a producer one time in the 1980s.
Yeah, I made sangria to bring there so I could, because they're like, "Oh yeah, bring something, bring whatever." And I was like, "Yeah, we're gonna drink some good shit."
I mean, one of our team members, halfway through, from when we got there, like before we went on stage or on stage before we performed, he just came over to me and he goes, "I am so fucking high. I can't do this."
Who was this?
Was it Luke?
No, it was Josh Diaz. What do you mean? Who do you think?
I was gonna say, who else would it be?
Josh is the one
who was supposed to be Steve's number two, by the way.
Yeah, when I was like when I wasn't available, I was like, hey, you've also you're taking UCB classes. Like, if you want to coach as well, like, do it. And then he would try. And then the way he would try and coach, everyone was just like, I don't like this. Like, I don't like the way you coach. Like,
at all.
And so they would tell me, they'd be like, hey, yeah, you check your boy.
Again, there's an ego thing to it a little bit, just because it was like, from some of our perspective, it's like when we go do these shows, we can hear who's getting the bigger laugh. Like, even in part, like when we know who's setting up the joke, who or when we know where it's going, like even if the joke, the laugh fell on something that someone else said, we know who brought it there. You know what I mean? So it's like we see who's getting the laughs.
He was not one who was doing it.
So it was just like it was a little difficult. And that's an ego thing. Like, which you have to kind of that is an ego thing to even be the person like that's like, I'm getting the laughs. You're not. To set that aside and be like, but at the same time, maybe there is something that he can teach you. And it wasn't that he couldn't teach us anything, it was the method to it that was just like, hey, this is not gonna work. I'm letting you know right now, it's not it. It's not gonna work.
That is interesting, and I agree with it, but it's also so antithetical to like the improv ethos. You know what I mean? Like, the idea that any one person is getting the laughs is true. Obviously, it's true.
Yeah.
You know who's funny, who's not. But it's so like counter to everything I've ever been taught about improv.
Because it's the whole thing of like the group. The group wins if one person makes a laugh. But it's like you only remember the hitters. You don't like, you know, Jason Mantzoukas when he's on soundtrack, and you know, you know Colton when he does ASCAP, but you don't know like Ruby.
Yeah, Tuesday, no, absolutely. You know? Yeah, no, I'm not saying it's wrong. It's just interesting to hear
it's
it
funny.
Out like that.
No, it
I'm
is,
like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But that's her. That's our whole mentality, though. Is that that's why I loved all the shows I ever did with these guys. Were for me more fulfilling than the shows I did in the improv circuit, and it's because of that whole thing where it's like. We only have to work for the casual audience. There's no one there who is watching because we are going to put them on the show. Like, they weren't just waiting for their turn. So you're not getting laughs or anything like that. These are people that, one, know us, but also people like we're bringing, like we had friends who would bring in their friends and they would be like, this shit slaps. And so that worked for us.
My girlfriend drove down. My girlfriend at the time drove down from the Bay Area to come see a show.
Jesus.
And, you know, in honor of International Women's Day, I miss that woman very much.
No, that's awesome. I've done a lot of things in LA that I like, but the most satisfying, most fun time in my improv career is in Seattle when my team, Yeah Okay, which I that name still gets me every time. Yeah, okay. You do yes and, we do yeah okay.
That's pretty good.
it's stupid, but I loved it. We started putting on this monthly show, and we put it in the Seattle Times just to be like, you know, why not? We'll charge $5. We'll see who comes. And we sold out literally every month, and it was just like such a blast. And this little like diner turned venue because stand-up comedians owned it. We'd have a stand-up comedian go, and then we'd just riff off their set. And it was so satisfying and fun and good. And I love those people. With those people all the time. Yeah, exactly. We made it, and we had people coming, and we had, like, fans, and we had write-ups in the paper, and, like, it was so fucking cool. And then I was like, see y'all, I'm moving to L.A.
and then you get hit with the fucking like truth of like, okay, you think indie improv shows are gonna be like that, but it's like fucking like you're doing a show at 12 on or like midnight on a Sunday and there's four people in the crowd and everyone
I remember this is like no shade on any of these people in the story because they're all great people, but a friend of mine in Seattle was like, hey, I've got this friend who produces this cool show in L.A. you should go. And I used to like hit him up and do it. And so I did. And it was 11 p.m. on a Monday. And I was like, crazy. They like pack shows on 11 p.m. on a Monday. It was at the clubhouse. I'm like, this is like cool little venue. This is going to be so great. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Was it not good? There was no one in the audience. The improv wasn't good. The guy that my friend knew, I was like, okay, he's cool, whatever. But like,
I don't care about this.
Wow, it was such a like a breaking the reality kind of moment for me.
That's where
like, oh yeah, yeah, this is going to be hard and less fun than it was when it was just for
and
fun.
It's, and it's like, so that's where it's like, you really are like, you have to really love it. Like,
yeah.
I guess my opinion would be like, you have to really love it to stick around, or you, if you really love it, you can do like, you realize that like you could do it without them. Like,
exactly. Yeah.
Cause we've done it before. Right. And so, like, the shows that we would get, yeah, it's the same thing as you. We would pack the houses and stuff like that. And everyone was having a good time. And no one had seen long-form improv before. Mm-hmm. So, like, and it's not like we had to, like, introduce them to, like, concepts like the game or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But
tell them, like, the basic structure. Like, if I were doing, like, a Harold, or we were just doing, like, a La Ronde and stuff like that. We would do that stuff with them. And we would just tell them, simply, we're going to be doing this. It's going to look like this. And at the end, you're going to see what happens. And it's like, okay,
exactly.
They have a great time. For this, it's like, all right, well, you introduce what your team name is and then what your format is. And so people could go, oh, okay, I know what Tracers is.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, it's like, it might not even be worth it at the end. But yeah, International Women's
Day. Fun.
That turned into talking about
improv chat. I love it.
Improv.
Improv every week.
I'm sure Adam regrets missing out on this one. He would have loved to talk about his shows because he's done his own shows and stuff like that
too. Oh yeah, he's got plenty of producing experience for sure.
Speaking of Adam, let's go into a bit of plugs. Starting with Adam. Let me find his shit. Adam R. Mac. You can find him at Adam R. Mac. You can also, every Friday, guys, we have fake news, but I'm going to add that to Ezra's. Ezra, you want to plug?
Yeah, I do. These are my plugs. My Instagram is at Ezra Partier. At Lester Pips is one of my characters that has its own show on Thursdays at 9 p.m. now on the Pack Theater Twitch. Real excited to keep doing that show. And then Fake News Comedy is the one that you were referencing. Fake News underscore comedy on all the things, especially TikTok. Follow us on TikTok. It's doing well on TikTok. Please. That's Fridays at 7. And that is, Adam and I and a bunch of other great folks doing news satire. It's really fun.
Yeah, it's good shit, too. It's really good shit.
Thank you.
Denzel?
So you guys can follow me on Instagram and Twitter, both at Sir Suavemente. My Twitter is mostly used for silly shenanigan statements. My Instagram varies from music posts to a bunch of photography stuff that I've recently got back into. So that's where you'll see all of my photography work. But that's
cool lately, man.
It's really good stuff, too.
Thank you.
You just posted that one from Las Vegas, and that one was really cool.
Yeah, Area 15. Yeah. Bunch of sneakies.
Edward?
You follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Edward J. Rosales. You know the vibes on there. You follow Cecil Doswell, who just followed me. You give her page a quick looky through. If you like what you see, it'll follow back for her. You know, DM her, tell her that, Johnny Come Lately sent you over there.
Twitter or Instagram?
It's on Twitter. Cecil Doswell, Doswell. You can also follow The Real Tay Diggs on Twitter. He followed me about a month or so ago. I keep tabs on him. Haven't followed him back just because he's got a lot of, a lot of stuff on there that I probably shouldn't promote on the show, but go check it out. See if you like what you see as well.
For sure. You can follow me on Instagram only at Steve_Sotelo. I might get a TikTok, but it's not going to be shit you want to see. And I also want to get an OnlyFans, and that stuff you definitely don't want to see. It is International Women's Day, and who are we to not give a shout out to our international woman, Amelia? You can follow her on Instagram
at Amelia.
Yeah, and then on TikTok at Oh, I thought you were going to do that one. Amelia Whistles.
Oh, yeah. That one doesn't have like a cool... Because she says, kind of stay Amelia like that.
Yeah.
I mean, she says Amelia Whistles. That's the other one. She doesn't really put any sort of funk on that one. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's also her Twitter, too.
Yeah. Also, go follow Lauren Lapkus.
Yeah. @ Lauren Lapkus.
Yeah.
Lauren Lapkus. So
follow,
huh?
Yeah. Follow all of us @ Go Finger Guns. You can get some info there. We should be updating that pretty soon as well with some new content.
Listen, if you guys DM Steve Sotelo on Instagram your favorite wrong Missy line, he will buy you a Sotelo gang shirt.
That's
you know what? That
we're running right now.
Like, yeah, let's do it because it also adds to my merch sales. I'm number one so far, and I just want to keep that.
Steve, I didn't want to say,
are you number one among us?
Among all of us on Finger Guns, including our very own branding, I am the top selling merch.
Steve, I didn't want to say it's good. I didn't want it to go to your head. But the other day I was hanging out with a friend, and then they asked me about Sotelo Gang. And
why?
And I blew a gasket.
Why did they ask about that?
You don't
That's
know.
Amazing.
I don't know.
See, we're growing. We're growing. And two people bought my ugliest design. And guys, I have great designs for these shirts.
Can I just leave us on a positive note before we bang out? Yes, so yes, my please. Birthday was February 25th
yes.
of last month, February. Yeah. And Steve Sotelo, thank you. Steve Sotelo first texted me a very interesting voice message where he sung a song. It was Birthday Sex by Jeremih, and I just didn't appreciate it. But because some of my friends also just kind of went on Instagram, and I didn't really, like, publicize my birthday. If you made a post, I just shared it because it's, like, cool, whatever. Steve was a little, you know, just another dramatic Steve story. It was a little, why didn't you post mine? It's like, well, first of all, I'm not posting a song. I'm not posting you singing Birthday Sex to me as a man. Like, I'm mad open-minded. It's not happening. He was like, I wanted to sing a different song. I said, if you post it on Instagram and I can just easily share, like, I just can't share it from here. I was like, no, it's too much work for me. You're the one who wants this. Post it on Instagram and I'll share it. So I posted it. Honestly, at this point, I've forgotten what song he said, but I wanted to tell you, and I haven't because we didn't do a show last week, but someone was like, hey, he kind of did that. So there you go, Steve.
It was the song Dreaming of You by Selena.
That's right. That's why I don't remember. I don't listen to Selena.
Wow. Well, you're now an ally.
That's fine.
International Women's Day. Wow.
On International Women's Day.
Women enjoy the truth.
You want me to sing that out?
No.
Yes.
But
we do, Steve. Okay.
Late at night when all the world is sleeping, I stay up and think of